I decided that what I was going to look at was three different things, and instead of sticking to Acts, I would look at zillions of different parts of the Bible and see what it said to say. So the first is the link between fear and love. I want to look at that. Then there's the fact that there's a very regular thing through the Bible of fear not, do not be afraid. And then finally, to ask how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, oops, excuse me. So that's what I'm hoping to vaguely cover. I'll tell you what, it clicks better if it's turned on, doesn't it? Right, let me try that. Yay. So I'm going to start with this passage from Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Fear and love, are they related? I think that they are, because to love someone deeply is to live in mutual commitment to each other. I normally like to embarrass my wife by including her in all talks, but in this particular case, I decided I'd better read her what I was going to say, so she actually knows this time and isn't taken by surprise. So do I fear Jenny? Well, yes, but in a very special way. Because what I don't want to do is displease her. This is not because I would get into trouble, though of course it is possible that I might, but primarily it's because I wish to be held in her highest regard. She's immensely special to me. So I want to build up our relationship to a level of consistent trust, shared hope, and deep love. And that's how it's supposed to be between us and God, as we can see from this, between Christ and the church. With him, am I also concerned about losing my place in his favor? Well, I should be. I probably should be more concerned than sometimes I am. And when I do get things wrong and upset the lovely Jenny, then the love-fear thing turns to a desire for forgiveness. I want to set things right. And despite all the love and mutual respect, that is sometimes not so easy, despite having been practicing it for the last 46 years. You'd think maybe by that time we'd have got it all sorted, but not quite. So despite our desire to be at one with each other, it can take a few tears and a few hugs before those little hurts are washed away. Now with the Lord, it is slightly different, for he's always reaching out to every one of us, isn't he? With his perfect sacrificial forgiveness. And he's not harmed personally by our rebellion, but it's our relationship with him, between us and him, that gets so harmed. And that's where the love-fear balance should be, in recognizing that when we fall short of his standards, we're damaging our relationship between God and ourselves. That Almighty God, who wants to be in relationship with every one of us, we damage that when we fall short. So we must rush back with urgency to the foot of the cross and seek his forgiveness. We should really find ourselves doing that regularly, coming back to the Lord and seeking his forgiveness. Maybe several times a day, if we really fear the breakdown of that relationship and desire to be restored into the arms of God. So there is a sense in which I would definitely say, I fear God, because I do not want to stray out of that relationship, out of that place of being in his presence. But equally, I'm not that good at it. And I guess that everybody else would recognize that in themselves. If I did, I would keep shorter accounts. I would recognize my sin and come back and sort it out sooner. Come back for forgiveness. So that's the first one, the relationship between love and fear, which I had there. Next, we're going to go and look at this question of fear not. Rick Warren tells us that fear not is, or something similar to it, appears 365 times in the Bible. Probably lots of you have heard that before. Once for every day of the year. I was a bit worried about leap years, but decided that was a red herring. So fear needs to be kept in balance. Most times that angels turned up in the Bible, the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. So I guess that's because they're pretty scary. This is what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Do not be afraid. I've got great news. I think in the modern world, particularly in this modern world that we live in, there's a tendency for us to see fear as something that we should avoid. You know, we should make sure that we don't get into positions where we are fearful. But actually, it's a really useful commodity. It needs to be kept under control because fear is an emotion. And obviously, our emotions can overwhelm us and lead us to acting illogically. Our emotions shouldn't guide us or drive us, but what they should do is be there, and particularly in the case of fear, to keep us out of trouble. These days, obviously I've got to mention this, when I'm on my bicycle, yeah, that's the third sermon in a row. When I'm on my bicycle, I am quite careful not to take major risks because I am getting a little bit older. And, you know, even I have noticed this. But in my late 20s and early 30s, I cycled in and out of Manchester every day, 13 miles each way or something, in order to get to work and then get home again. The traffic was mental. And I was really fit, because I was young. And I cycled very fast and kept up with all the traffic quite easily. I had quite a lot of altercations with traffic, with motorists, with buses, with post office vans, and got involved in quite a few collisions. The regularity of the danger quickly made me unaware of its potential severity. I became used to it. And my bravado overcame the fear that I should have felt. So I became sort of impervious to fear because I was in constant danger. And I think that can happen to us in everything we do. So too in our lives of discipleship. We might take the risk of falling from grace too lightly. I think I do. Does that ring a bell with you? Because sin is always diverting me from the path of righteousness. So much so that I can become complacent. And I can start to say things like, it's just the way I am. You know, that's the way I'm made. And maybe I'll grow out of it in time. But these aren't acceptable. Because that's not the way to deal with the issues that are polluting ourselves. It's not the way for me to deal with the issues that are polluting my very being. At the very least, I need to face my faults, condemn them, and seek God's forgiveness. Then seek his empowering to overcome these things and be transformed by the renewing of my mind as his spirit dwells in me. God does not want us to have to fear him. For God is love. But we need to balance that with that fear, love, expectation that comes when there is a relationship of love and respect. So I am not ashamed of fearing the great and mighty Creator God. But I'm also at the same time secure in the love that he has for me and the constant desire that he has displayed in upholding me, despite all my shortcomings. Each one of us has those same shortcomings, and we can delight in the fact that his love overcomes them. Finally, I want to look at this. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I looked at lots of different versions of this, hence all the lovely other words that go with Lord, perhaps the proper words. This is a great saying, but I'm not sure it's totally illuminating. It needs to be in the context to really give you a flavor of what it actually means in all its fullness. So I'm going to read the bit before it from the lovely Message version, which is, I think, rather amusing, as well as incredibly insightful. If you reason with an arrogant cynic, you'll get slapped in the face. Confront bad behavior and get a kick in the shins. So don't waste your time on a scoffer. All you'll get for your pains is abuse. But if you correct those who care about life, that's different. They'll love you for it. Save your breath for the wise. They'll be wise for it. Tell good people what you know. They'll profit from it. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life from knowing a holy God. It's through me, Lady Wisdom, that your life deepens and your years of your life ripen. Live wisely and wisdom will permeate your life. Mock life and life will mock you. So the fear of Yahweh is a very different thing. In fact, maybe it's a bit like godly common sense. Don't waste your time on a scoffer. You'll get abuse for your pains. This seems very like what Jesus said about the pigs and the pearls, which we can read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Instead, we're called to be wise, just as we need to be discerning about when we offer the priceless treasure of the gospel to those around us. We must also be wise enough to hear good advice from other people, and particularly when it's the word of God direct from the Bible or from a friend who's inspired by the Spirit of Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to wander back up here, if you could, as I bring this talk to a close. We want to be investing in skilled living or wisdom. And that comes from God. We should fear being under the influence of this society. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't contribute and be part of living in this community. For we are the disciples of Jesus. My sound seems to have gone all up. Oh, that's better. Thank you. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be part of our community. For we are disciples of Jesus. We're not just converts. We're active disciples. We're not just called to believe and there it is. We are living out the way that Jesus taught about. That way is narrow, and the path, as we unfortunately know, can be very tough. That road is rocky, but the Lord, our God, Adonai, walks with us. We are disciples accompanied by the teacher. We fear getting lost and straying off the path in our folly. That's what we fear. We fear losing God. But we're also fearless. Because we know that he constantly seeks us. He leaves the 99 and comes down that attractive dead end, or this cliff face in this case, to encourage us back into the narrow way. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I'm not ashamed to fear God. Not when I understand the vastness of the love of God, that there's nothing that I do that makes God love me less. Nothing at all. But I can willfully destroy my relationship with him, and that is the thing that I fear. It says, live wisely, and wisdom will permeate your life. Mock life, and life will mock you. Live wisely then, live skillfully, and God will permeate your life in the very fabric of it. But do not mock God. Be his disciple. Set your life on the path that Jesus walked down with you. Live in the fear of God, but do not be afraid, for the love of God far outweighs anything that we should fear. The band are going to just start to play quietly as I read to you this passage from Matthew as I close. Look at it this way. If someone has 100 sheep, and one of them wanders off, doesn't the shepherd leave the 99 and go after the one? And if he finds it, doesn't he make far more over it than over the 99 who stay put? Your Father in heaven feels the same way about you. He doesn't want to lose even one of the simple believers.